Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This program looks at how the gospel inspires, enlightens, and helps everyday living in marriage and in family. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I am joined with some great guests, and we'll continue our discussion on the power of scriptures. Today we have with us David McConkie, who is the first counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and we actually get to work together quite a bit, so I'm thrilled we're working on this crew as well.
Thank you, Matt. I'm just thrilled to be here as well. I'm delighted to be here.
And one thing I've learned about you, David, you are a scriptorian in every sense of the word, but more impressive than that is I know that they have deep meaning. It's not just a knowledge-based experience, but deep meaning in your life.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the scriptures, and I'm just grateful to be here with Ann and Karen, who you'll introduce now.
Well, then let's do that. We also have with us Karen Ashton, who's a member of the Young Women's General Board. Welcome, Karen.
I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you. We've done recordings before together, and you always have such great insights that are not only relevant, and they're principally, meaning gospel principally based, but such a practical application of having the gospel to work. So this is a thrill for me to have you here. And we also have Ann Madsen, who is a member of the Sunday School General Board. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you.
Ann has also been teaching for quite some time. She teaches at BYU, so we've known each other through the BYU halls and also working with the Sunday School matters. And you have just such a gift with understanding scriptures and applying them, Ann. So it's a pleasure to have you here.
I love the scriptures. I think discretionary time is so well spent in the scriptures. I didn't used to feel that way.
You know, I like what you're saying on that one, because I think that there is a power that comes when we use the scripture at a discretionary time, meaning we choose to go to the scriptures. And when it becomes a choice, and we, if you will, using our agency, great blessings come when we use our agency. As soon as we choose to turn to the scriptures, there will always be blessings. But I think there's almost blessings plus that comes with discretionary time. I'm going to choose to do this. Now, in a previous program, we talked about the power of scriptures, and it was actually an enlightening experience and one which I will hold close to me personally. And we talked about the blessings that come from scriptures and using scriptures in our personal lives, in our married lives, and in our families. Today, I'm hoping that we might be able to use that as a springboard and talk about how we can use the scriptures in our marriage and in our family. We know the power is in the scriptures, and surely that's going to come out as we talk. But we have unique challenges in everyday living. I mean, sometimes I think one of the greatest challenges to family living is fatigue, is we have so many things, we're just so tired. And people will say often, I know I should read my scriptures, I know they should be part of my relationship, but how in the world do you find time? How in the world do we do this, et cetera? So I'm going to draw upon the wealth of the experts of the church here who have been down the path of finding ways to be able to do this. Let's talk about this, is how can we find ways to use the scriptures in both our married life and in family life? Karen?
Well, first of all, I love young mothers because I was a young mother for a long time. Now I'm an old mother, but I remember the stress and the strain of having every moment of my day filled with the needs for young children, and yet my wanting to be involved in the scriptures. And I remember thinking, okay, I will find the scriptures, I'll get the tapes, or I'll get a CD, and I'll put them on, and I will listen to them in the kitchen. And people said, that's not studying. That is not... that's not the way it can be done. And I remember being so discouraged because I thought, I don't know any other way right now. I'm just stretched as far as I can be. And then I thought, actually, of the analogy of the Olympics. When you're watching some people dive, they judge the dive by the level of difficulty. And I figured I was doing a dive that was a level of difficulty way off the charts, and that the Lord knew that, and that He was going to help me. And I remember putting the tapes back on in my kitchen, and pretty soon I recognized the cadence of the scriptures. I recognize the story and when it appeared, at what part. And even though maybe I wasn't doing studying according to what someone else would think, the message of the scriptures was just flowing through me and through my kitchen. And what's more, my little children who were in the middle of that room were picking up on things at the same time. When I was listening to the stories in the Old Testament, they were getting it as well. So there are many ways into the sacred grove. There are all kinds of pathways to get in there to talk with the Savior, to talk with our Father in heaven, and to receive instruction. And just because you're not coming in the well-worn way doesn't mean that you're not coming in.
This is important because I think sometimes we get this mindset of ritual or the rigor, et cetera. And some people even get a little offended if you're not reading from a leather-bound scripture because it's not real. I know sometimes we do this when we've done different types of things with scripture study for television or things like that, and they're saying, it's not black. That's not black leather, or that's electronic. That can't be the word of God.
That's a computer you're reading from.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny.
We better get over that.
We need to, because I like what you're saying, Karen, and this is an important part, is we're finding a vehicle to get to the end, and the power of the scriptures, whether it be by, when we say tape, my kids would say, what's a tape? You know, so whether it be CD or
really
whether DVD,
it
doesn't matter. The technology is finding ways, and I like that, is looking for ways to find ourselves into the scriptures rather than constantly saying, I just can't do it right now. This is not my season for scriptures, because actually scriptures is every season, every season.
And I don't think that we should set goals that say a chapter a day. We read a chapter a day. I watched my young grandchildren with their parents one night when we were visiting them. They were reading the scriptures every night with their children. They read one verse. Yeah. One verse. Then they would go through every word and say, now, what does this word mean? Some of them were in school. Two of them were in school. One of them wasn't. So she couldn't even read. And they'd talk about this word. What I remember they were talking about forgiveness. And it said, I can't remember what the word was, but maybe it was just forgive. It was forgiveness. And the father said, so, what do you think forgiveness means, Max? And Max told what he thought it meant. Then, what do you think forgiveness means, Molly? And she told what she thought it meant. And Gabe, what does forgiveness mean? He said it means to stop doing what you're doing and start doing right. So then we're there the next night, and they read the next verse, but they go back and they say, now, what did forgiveness mean?
Oh, this is great.
And notice, those children learned a gospel principle, very basic way, and yet, if you ask one of them today, which I did not long ago, do you remember that night that we were studying about forgiveness? And what did you say? One of them said, you need to turn around and go back from where you're headed. One of them said, you've got to stop what you're doing.
Sure.
And they remember it to this moment. Now, that's gospel teaching.
No, and that's really a good point. There was a time, and we still do this. I have a son that's in seminary. And so a lot of times we'll tailor make our scripture study in family to align with his seminary experience. And so that if they're studying, for example, the New Testament this year, then we'll study the New Testament as a family. The goal is we'll help him along in his reading as far as that goes. And so it'll count for both, etc. But we found for us personally, we had to get over this kind of set traditional patterns. We have to do X amount by X time, etc. Is we found we are always lagging so far behind, and we have never, ever accomplished reading through in this school year because of what you're saying. Point being is there's a lot of different ways to be able to get somewhere and different meaningful experiences. And we find in the New Testament, most of ours isn't necessarily just simply reading the text as much as reading and talking and saying, what do you think about this? Or what does this mean? Like you were saying, in different ways. But there are ways to find connections in this. And I love to hear this because there's many different ways to do this. And so these are great ideas.
Well, and I appreciate it. I feel the very same way. I think there's a thousand or more different ways to sit and study and search the scripture. Scriptures as a family or individually, and you just have to decide what works best for you, whether it's sitting down formally or maybe a combination of all of these things. But there's many ways, and there's books written on it, and someone will say, this is the only way to do it, or you mark this with red and this with yellow, and you do all of these things, use these tabs here, or whatever it might be. But the most important thing is just consistency. It's just doing what works for you, but being consistent in what you're doing.
That's really good. Yeah.
You know, when my husband died 3 years ago, we had a very set way that we were reading the Book of Mormon every morning at breakfast, and I adored doing it, and we'd always have a great discussion about what we just read because we both had plenty of time and could do that. Our children are all grown. He died. I'm a widow. And the first morning after he died, I walked into the table, and I thought, can't do it. I can't do it like we did it. You know, I mean, I just couldn't.
Right.
And so I had a friend who had recorded the scriptures, the Book of Mormon. It was the Book of Mormon we read over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And so I'd wake up in the morning and I'd put on that, it was on my iPhone, and I would listen to my friend reading the scriptures. And I thought, you know, I can do this. But it's strange that just reading the scriptures would make me cry. I mean, I was mourning because we had such great discussions
sure.
about the scriptures. And so whenever I see this friend, I say, do you know that you read Alma to me this morning? And it was so good, but you never asked my opinion. You never stopped talking. You just kept reading.
So
there is another way. And
that's
I
good.
Think for people who live alone, you can try all kinds of different things to do.
Well, and a nice thing about this is also is knowing there are many different ways. Sometimes we do adjust courses. You mentioned that is one way worked at a certain time.
Oh,
and
yes.
then you need to be brave enough to say, that fulfilled its purpose. Is there a better way now? Like, for example, when our children were very young, we often used the cartoon type of scriptures so they become
yeah.
familiar. And we would go through and read those together, and they were at an age where it worked perfectly. And when we would get done, I was just looking at this morning before I left to come here, is that we would all sign in the back and date it when we finished each cartoon book, and then we'd start the next one. Mm. Some of the kids could not write because they were little, but you can see this little scribbling going on. And honestly, I was just filled
it's
with
tender.
What you were saying. It was yeah. a tender experience to think back of those times. That was years ago, but as you were mentioning, consistency was a key then, even though it was in that form, and it brought back happy, great memories and seeing those signatures in the book and all the times we spent. We didn't do that for very long because we then saw, is there another way that would be more beneficial now that they can read or as teens or as adults? So once again, I love this, being flexible but finding ways to allow the scriptures to be part of us.
And think how our Father in heaven must feel when he watches someone walk through the stages of their life with this desire to hear his voice every day, whether they're hearing it in the kitchen or whether now they're reading it one by one or whether now she finally or he finally has a moment to sit down at his desk. And then when they lose their maid and they find another way, they've got to find it. I think the Lord sees that and he pours out his blessings upon their head. It's just going to happen. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you.
That's so good, that's so great. I can't help but think also of the scripture where the Lord says, I will consecrate thy performance unto the welfare of thy soul. It doesn't say, well, what is that performance, and what is the standard for the performance? Thy performance of seeking to be able to be part of this. It's a consecrated effort.
I went through a period not long ago with chemotherapy. And was so weak that I could not sit for an extended period of time and read. But I would open the book sometime. I know this is going to sound just terrible, but just lay it on my chest and think about it.
That sounds horrible. I'm teasing, of course. Because, no, I understand what is happening here. Is there something there? This is a different way to look at this, but a very powerful experience.
Just going there again. Makes the difference.
You know, David, you had an experience you share about scriptures with a sister that was illiterate that did something similar.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, we're talking to an audience, many of whom are readers, but some people are more visual.
Yeah.
Some people don't feel very comfortable reading, and so they just do the best they can, and the Lord compensates. Karen, as you've mentioned, and I shared an experience with Matt a little while ago. I received a letter when I was a stake president from a sister in our stake that had visited, was on a business trip with her husband back east, and she recorded her experience of visiting a ward one weekend and sent me this letter. She said that as she visited this ward, she said that it was a ward where there's a lot of immigrants from Africa who were refugees, and she sat in there and sat by a senior missionary couple, and this couple was trying to point out different people in the ward and talk about some of who they were and where they were from. She said then she went to the Relief Society meeting that day, and a sister stood up that had not been a member of the church for very long, and she was from Africa. She had come here with her children. Her husband had been killed and some of her children killed in a civil war over there, and she told of her experience in leaving Africa and how the Lord helped her to do that. And she met sister missionaries in Philadelphia is where we're talking about. And she was introduced to the Book of Mormon, and the sisters left it with her and told her to read it and pray about it. She told about her prayers, not reading it, but her prayers, and how she had a wonderful experience understanding the church was true and joined the church. So now she's getting to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Now she's standing before the Relief Society class that day in this meeting and saying, now you must find it odd that I'm standing here teaching a lesson today on searching and studying the scriptures, since all of you know that I'm illiterate. She says, but I have found in my life that if I'll just take the Book of Mormon and I'll sit down every day for 15 or 20 minutes and I'll just hold it on my lap and I'll just sit and ponder and pray, Heavenly Father will help me to know what to do to bless my family. And I thought, isn't that miraculous how the Lord compensates? Here's someone who can't even read, but she loves the scriptures. She loved the Book of Mormon because of her conversion experience, what she felt and what she had experienced. And she loved the scriptures because of that, and the Lord was blessing her. And she won't be deprived or denied any blessing that the Lord will give anyone else that is fully literate and can study and pray, because she did what she could do. It was for her. What she could do is what she was doing.
See, this is great. So see, Karen, when you say hold them close, as I couldn't help but trigger that thought, is there is great power from the scriptures, because I think, well, the way that the Savior taught this, seek and ye shall find. And if we're looking for ways to allow the scriptures to be part of us and to be part of our relationship with the spouse, and as you were saying, Anne, that's such a big part of you and your husband's study. It was part of who we are and part of our families. Then we will find the Savior in our lives in unique and wondrous ways.
I think one of the most important things that we can do in families is to identify, you know, when you're reading the scriptures or listening to the scriptures, there'll be a phrase that just jumps off the page. It comes off in neon for you. And we should memorize those. Nobody memorizes anything anymore. I mean, you've got a button on your phone that phones anybody. You don't have to know their numbers. However, when you find something that is so beautiful that you want to keep it with you, if you memorize it, it's in your heart. It's there all the time. Robert Frost, in his poem called Choose Something Like a Star, in the middle of it, he says, he's talking to the star, and he says, tell us about yourself. Tell us something we can learn by heart, and when alone, repeat. I always tell that to my classes, because I require them, or I offer them, that they can memorize scriptures if they'd like to. And I tell them, I don't want you to memorize. They say, well, give us the list you want us to memorize. I say, oh, no. No, you generate the list from what jumps off the page, and that you cannot leave it without making it part of you.
You know, Elder Scott talked about this. He said, great power can come from memorizing scripture. Then he used a phrase that I just totally loved. I thought was so intriguing at the time. He says, to memorize a scripture is to forge a new friendship.
A new friendship. I remember that.
It is
that.
Like discovering right? A new individual who can help you in a time of need, give inspiration and comfort, and to be a source, he says here, of motivation for needed change. Scriptures being a friend. And yet I found that in my life is often they have been there at a specific time of need.
I testify that's true.
Oh.
I'm Madsen.
Okay, so we should all say amen together on that.
Yes.
Okay. I think
amen.
We're amen on that. This is great. There's a concept here I'd like to just touch upon briefly. It was something this is a little embarrassing to admit. When I first got married, I was wondering, well, what happens now, the logistics of prayer? How does this work? Okay, so I know that we're supposed to have couple prayer. Does that mean I don't have personal prayer anymore? So at the end of the day, do we kneel down as a couple? How does this work? And I'm a little embarrassed that I even had that thought, because I said, okay, now how does this work with a new family? And then what do you do when you have kids? You have family prayer. Does that eclipse now couple prayer, etc. Oh, well, and of course, on my mission, I learned that we were praying all the time. I even felt embarrassed to start a new prayer or even say amen because it's like, Heavenly Father, it's me again, you know, kind of thing. Yes. And of course, I resolved that, obviously. It takes some of us a little bit longer. Obviously, I need to have personal prayer. It is a critical foundation. And because I got married, I need to pray with my spouse because it's almost a different purpose in a way. And we need to pray together as a family. That doesn't mean I don't pray with my wife as a couple in those times and as individual. How does this relate to scripture study? Because I think that some people aren't quite sure what to do about this, but I think there's an interesting foundation here. Anne?
I'm always speaking up for the widows of the world, but the same thing happens when you don't have family prayer anymore or couple prayer anymore.
Well, this is a good point, actually.
I remember it was so interesting. I said my morning prayers, and then I went in and I thought, well, I don't need to kneel down here now to have family prayer. And then I thought, well, I should just bless the food with my morning personal prayer. And why not, you know, because it's just me, and it's me again, and it's me again. And it really was a kind of shrinking down. You were going out, and I was shrinking back. And I don't always ask the blessing or thank the Lord for my food in my morning prayer, but I often do because I'm saying my family prayer right then.
Sure. Well, you know, I like what you're saying here is because, and maybe the point being is it's purposeful, is there is a reason we pray as individuals and there's a purpose and we're meeting the purpose in that need. I think we're all on the same page here is even within a marriage and within a family, we still need to individually have a personal experience within the scriptures. And then there is a time where it's very appropriate to study as a couple because it brings a different experience for the intended purpose of a couple. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so some families, they just say, okay, we'll do our 15, 20, whatever it might be. I don't want to emphasize the time as a family scripture study. And that's the only exposure they're having to scriptures. But yet there's something very powerful. What do you think about this? Am I off track?
For me, it's an opportunity for an enrichment of a relationship. And the relationship that I have with my children is not the same relationship I have with my husband. And we don't talk about the same things. We're involved in many of the same things.
Okay.
But what I'm doing with Alan and what we're talking about together is totally different from what we're doing in the family and what we're talking about there. I mean, a lot of the time. And bless Anne, I had never thought of what it will be like on the day when I don't have that time. Alan and I are preparing to go to Turkey soon and to see some of the ancient sites there, and in particular Ephesus. I'm very excited. So we are in the middle of studying Paul. Well, I'm in the middle of studying something else, and we don't have our children aren't at home anymore, but if they were, we probably would have been in the middle of studying something else with them.
Sure. This is good.
But those relationships that I have with him during the time that I can ask him a different question. We can talk in a different way. I can be very personal with him and about something else that I may not be free to with the littler children there.
And if the power of the scriptures comes to enlighten us and to show us or tell us all things we can do and stuff, it does that for a couple in that experience, right? And in a family in that experience. So it's an avenue to be able to bring those great blessings.
But it never could take the place of my very own personal scripture study or my own personal prayers. It's interesting because we will finish our couple prayer and then I will go find a little spot where I can be alone and speak with the Lord of my personal concerns or talk to him, ask him to help me understand something that I am working on alone. So I think you need all of it. Isn't it lovely?
Yeah, and I'm glad that you said that because some people say, boy, that's a lot to do. Now you just added two more things on my checklist.
That's right.
But in truth, it's not something that goes through and it's a burdensome experience. It actually alleviates the burdens I find in everyday living. When I set myself on a right course and have myself open to that gateway of experience through the scriptures of the Holy Ghost personally, it changes the way I approach my marriage. And as we do that together, it changes the way we approach everything we do. And as a family, it is lovely. I love that. It is
lovely.
It is a a blessing, and it is lovely.
And the Lord uses all those different methods and means to provide us with the inspiration and guidance that we need, whether you're reading with your husband or your wife, and then you talk about those things and the impressions you get on that occasion. I think the Lord uses that whole process. It's not just the reading part, but it's the discussion part and pondering and talking about what you've read, and the impressions that come on those occasions will be very different than you might have when you're alone.
That is so
and
good.
As pondering and praying, but the personal scripture studying, the personal effort is so critical, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's all important. So you just can't leave one element out, because it's all critical.
You know, some people are saying, I don't know what to say to my children. I don't know what to say to my spouse. And sometimes that personal scripture study,
you don't have to think about it in front.
You don't.
It happens in the middle of the piece.
And sometimes you might say, you know, I was thinking, dear kids, I say this to my kids, I was thinking, I was reading today in this, and it's just a natural experience. And I think, oh my gosh, that is the funniest thing that I happened to bring up this scripture story, because it was a critical time for a child. But yet what happens, it starts to unfold.
I've been reading with a friend on the telephone for 30 years. We started reading on the telephone. She was living in New Hampshire at the time and was having a very sad family experience. And when she would call and talk to me, I'd been the mission president's wife there. I would say to her, I couldn't think of what to say. I didn't know how to help her or counsel with her. And so I said, should we read the scriptures together? So we started reading 30 years ago. We read yesterday, and we'll read today.
Isn't that amazing?
And we're on the telephone. Now, I just want to tell people how they could do that, because this is what we do. We're reading something different. We're just finishing the book of Revelation, and we're reading it in a little different translation, and we're having the time of our lives. We both say, did the Hebrews say this before? This is fabulous. And we've read that we go through all four of the standard works, but we sort of decide which one we'll do next. And we've already decided which we're going to do next. But we say a prayer, and usually our prayer now, after we've been doing it 30 years, is cognizant of the needs of the other person. And we know each other very, very well, you would a husband. And then we read, and then we usually don't comment a lot. We usually read a chapter. But at any rate, it works. It's a wonderful thing to do.
I like this because, you know, I know families that read scriptures because they're separated by distance over Skype. And they're like, well, you can't really do that. And it's not going to be the same.
Actually, it's
better than nothing. And actually, it's quite better than a lot of things. And it can transmit because we're finding ways. So electronic means are actually opening ways for people, I know, in the military to connect with family, holding family home evening, reading scriptures together, et cetera. This is wonderful.
It's all about the relationships in the end of our life. It's all about those people we love. Of those people we have shared these kind of experiences with. Whenever you get together with someone and share the scriptures, then it's the two of you and the Lord. And you share that together. What an opportunity to do that with numerous groups. We should be doing it in our Sunday school group. We should be doing it in our young women's group. We should be doing it with all of them. So we're sharing scriptures and leaving edified, but at the same time, rejoicing in the relationship we have with one another.
No, that's so good, and I like that concept, and maybe that's a good way to close as we're looking on that concept of sharing is really what this is prophets of past have shared in the form of scriptures with generations to come, and as we embrace those, we share those with the people that we love, and whether that be in our personal study, our study as couples or as families, whatever it might be, it's the means to be able to come, and it blesses in wondrous ways. I think, for example, a major impact upon me is one time I forgot my scriptures when I was a youth, and my dad handed me his, and I found in Proverbs in chapter 31, my dad, I was just kind of leafing through, and my dad, in his personal study, he was reading through that, and that's, of course, the one is in verse 10 is, who can find a virtuous woman? And there written in the column was my mother's name. It said Andrea.
Oh.
And that made such an impact upon me as a young man, and I guess maybe the acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree, but in every set of scriptures I have, when I look at that, I have written there Lisa Jean, which is my wife, of course, you know, kind of think, where did I learn that from? From my father. It wasn't in a family scripture study that came out. It was in his personal scripture study that somehow kind of just fell in my lap and influenced me as far as that would be. Fascinating sharing experience in unexpected ways.
David. And who can even measure the impact on a child just to walk by a bedroom and see his father or mother or her father or mother
reading
the scriptures? Right. I mean, that message itself may be more important than all the mornings you get up. You know, I mean, it's just it's a combination of all of these things which makes them part of who you are, and they see that this really is important to my mother. This is important to my father.
This is so good. The combination of many things, in many ways to do it, in different stages and seasons of our lives, but always seeking to have them part of those seasons and stages.
I write my children's names by scriptures, and I have many books of scriptures. It's not just the one Bible I've got now. And I really expect someday that they'll see their names there, and they'll know that I prize them in this way. I do that regularly. And my grandchildren, when it reminds me of one of my – I have a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And when it reminds me of one of them, I put their names in the margins. So
this is so good.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. Sadly, we are out of time again. This is always the biggest challenge in this is when we talk about such meaningful and wonderful experiences is that it seems that there's just not enough time. And I would just like to echo of everything that has been said is there are ways to be able to have the scriptures to be part of our lives. And I would invite and encourage all of us to find ways to find that in our personal lives, find ways to use the scripture in our marriages. It will improve and bless our relationships like nothing else, as well as within our families. For as we seek our Father in heaven, he will always make himself manifest. And I can't help but think of that wonderful invitation that Jesus Christ offered to two of John the Baptist's followers when they were following after him. And he says, invites them, come and see. And I would like to extend that invitation to all those who are listening to come to the scriptures in whatever way, in whatever means, and you will see the hand of the Lord. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.